You see, I think for any minister, it's important to know how the people are doing. Hey, where's so-and-so? I don't see him in attendance anymore. He used to come all the time. You see, the concern is for their spiritual condition, not for what they do, not for what they give. It's not, oh, I hope they come back so they can serve. Oh, I hope they start attending again so we could be known as a real big church. Oh, I hope they give so we can, you know, be that much more financially secure. That's not it. How are they doing in the Lord?
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Philippians 4 with a message titled, I Can Do All Things Through Christ.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
And so we read verse 10, chapter 4, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Him, Christ, who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. And you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet each saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Father, we do want to thank you so much for Paul's letter to us. What a man of God. What a man to follow. And just not just hearing his words, but following his life. Lord, there's a lot of corruption we know in the world, but a lot of corruption in the church. And when it comes to money, Lord, I mean, as Billy Graham used to say, what'll get a pastor is gold, glory, and girls. Lord, that could bring a ministry down. And Lord, I do pray that you speak to our hearts, Lord, through this passage, Lord, and touch our lives through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Paul is closing the letter here, commending the saints in Philippi for their financial support of him and the ministry. So actually, he ends off talking about money. A lot of people don't like to talk about money, but Paul is. He's laying it out. They supported him when he left Philippi. About 10 years he had been gone from Philippi when he writes his letter. And he goes to Macedonia. And in Macedonia, that's a region, and there are a number of cities there. And so he went to that city of Thessalonica and that city of Berea, and that's in Acts chapter 17, if you want to study that in the first 13 verses. And then Paul moved south to Achaia. Again, that's a region, and it has different cities there. And they continued their support when he was in Athens and Corinth. So nobody else helped him out in these things. I'll tell you, when you go off into ministry and you don't have anything and you're not sending out these support letters, that could be tough. But you know what? That's faith. That is faith when you're not hitting the people up for money and you're just allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to their hearts. And that's what Paul does. That's why we like him so much. And then over the years, they didn't give to him because he says you lacked opportunity. So how they lacked opportunity, we don't know. Maybe they fell into hard times or whatever it was, or they lost contact with Paul, but they still had a deep concern for him. They loved him, and you know, they weren't any different whether they were giving to him or not giving to him. And then all of a sudden, he's in Rome, he's in prison, he's in shackles under Roman guards, and here Epaphroditus shows up. And he shows up and he brings this generous gift to Paul from the Philippian church. We just read that in verse 18. And so that spoke volumes to Paul. He hadn't heard from him. He thought, well, you know, maybe they forgot me, and maybe it was just kind of a flash in the pan where they, you know, they were helping out and then they, you know, grew tired of that. But it wasn't at all. It spoke volumes to Paul because of their love for him, their love for the ministry, and their love for the Lord. But it's interesting how he connects it with their giving to him. You see, a lot of people will, or unfortunately, pastors will kind of hit the people up for the bucks. And over, it's the bucks, it's the bucks, it's the bucks. And some of the used to be on Christian TV, I don't watch that at all anymore, but I'm glad that some of these apologists are taking them to task and showing how they're just basically shaking the people down. They're fleecing the flock instead of feeding the flock. Paul never did that. He always fed the flock. And so here, let's look at some of the things that he talks about here. Again, in verse 10, and we'll go down to verse 13, Paul says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means and also how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him, through Christ, who strengthens me." Powerful, powerful statements there. You see, their spiritual condition were the grounds for Paul's rejoicing, not anything else. Oh, bless you, you've given me money. No. He's saying, oh, I'm so glad spiritually you're doing well. And the gifts, they were secondary to Paul. They were secondary. Paul wasn't looking for the gifts they were giving. Paul is not a greedy minister, as the scandalous heretics of our day who disgrace God and Jesus' teaching on giving. These heretics today, they financially molest naive and vulnerable people for their money in the name of God. I mean, that is blasphemous from my point of view. I used to watch that. I can't stand that. And a lot of them are being taken to task now. I don't know if you on the web you see some of the people that they're talking about, but you see, not Paul. Paul doesn't fall into that category. Believers in Philippi, they were concerned with the welfare of Paul and the ministry. They were deeply concerned with that. And he rejoiced greatly. Notice it's always in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. Never see yourself outside of the Lord. Because now at last, Now at last, after waiting and praying for them, Paul's heart is revived. That's an interesting word. I mean, he sees, oh, they're doing well. I'm glad. Oh, they gave a gift. Well, that's fine. That's secondary. But he's rejoicing in them and their spiritual condition. That's what he was concerned about. You see, and always concerned about. And like Paul, we as ministers and in the ministry are concerned over those who once bore spiritual fruit. They were once thriving, but then they quit. You see, in Paul's mind, he didn't know what was going on with them. He was in kind of a zone there where he didn't know what was going on, and he thought, did they quit? Did they quit their love for the Lord? I know they're not giving to me. That's not that important, but I want to know how they're doing. You see, I think for any minister, it's important to know how the people are doing. Hey, where's so-and-so? I don't see him in attendance anymore. He used to come all the time. Where is such and such? You know, the lady that was serving so faithfully, I don't see her serving anymore. Oh, the giving, you know, that person was giving so readily, and I don't see that anymore. Where's so-and-so? You see, the concern is for their spiritual condition, not for what they do, not for what they give. It's not, oh, I hope they come back so they can serve. Oh, I hope they start attending again so we could be known as a real big church. Oh, I hope they give so we can, you know, be that much more financially secure. That's not it. How are they doing in the Lord? You see, Paul's evidence of their concern for him in the ministry was their giving. Jesus talked more about money than he talked about anything else. But not because you get the money, but it kind of reveals where the heart is at. He'd been 10 years since he started the church there in Philippi, and then he left to plant other churches, and it's been years since they had the opportunity to give to him again, so he didn't know how they were doing, but that was his concern. You see, they hadn't lost concern for Paul either, not at all, or desire to support him. But for Paul, they didn't have an opportunity. And we don't know exactly what that was, what that looked like. What do you mean you didn't have an opportunity? You don't know where Paul was? You didn't have anybody to send to him? And what, you lost track? Or maybe you fell on hard financial times, and so it just wasn't the time. But Paul says now he's revived. I like that. Have revived your concern for me. Uses that term a couple times. You see, that term, important term, when you look at horticulture, planting, when you think about plants or grass, the idea of being revived is that plant, those plants or that grass is withering, it's about to die. But all of a sudden you water it and the sunlight hits it and it revives it, it brings it back to life. You've known that with plants. We've got enough foliage in our yard and our grass and stuff, and I've seen that. You know, I planted grass. And people will say, well, that's about as exciting as watching grass grow. Well, if it's your grass, it's very exciting to watch it grow. It was withered, it died, now it's growing. No, it is exciting. You see, 10 years since Paul was with them, you see that in verse 15 and 16. Yet Paul knew their heart. He knew their heart, but he hadn't heard from them. And he hopes all things, endures all things, you know, praying for them. Whether they couldn't or they were unable to send word to him and help out again, now they had opportunity. And he says he's revived. Wow, I'm revived. Not that I've just got the money, the gift that they gave, but I'm revived that they're excited about the Lord. They're doing well in the Lord. That's what revived Paul. You see, a thing unused wastes away. A muscle unused, it atrophies. Idle love turns inward. And also, without or withholding giving, it results in selfishness. Paul wasn't sure. Oh, he had hope, but he wasn't sure. Paul uses that term horticulture, revive, in describing that the plant flowering again, a picture of the Philippians, the saints, their generous affection toward him blooming again. Not just the gift, but their spiritual life. That's what he was excited about. It was dormant, and now it's revived. You know, I sent a couple pictures to the media, and I had a tea leaf in my yard, and it was dying. I mean, you could see it if they show it on the screen, but it was dying. It was just all... And so what I did is I pulled it out, and I replanted it, and I watered it, and then you can see the second picture, it bloomed again. Not only one tea leaf, but then a second one on that same branch. It was amazing. But you see, I started to replant it in March of 2022. Then in July, before this message, 2024, that's what it looks like. 16 months. You see, sometimes there's certain things in our life, certain areas in our life that have died off. And you think, oh, that's gone, that's lost, it'll never come back. No, the roots are still there. The roots in Christ, whatever it might be in your life, your passion, maybe your ministry, maybe your godly life. You know, your washing of water with the Word of God, you know, you revive, you come back. It's never too late. It's never too late. I've seen people that have backslid for a long time. And then all of a sudden they're revived. They come back like that tea leaf. Ah, they're bright. They're healthy again. Never give up on yourself and never give up on others. You see, Paul's letter is not out of want. He's not writing it because he's asking for something. Because he says he's always content, verse 11, in Christ. Content, he means self-sufficient. I'm self-sufficient in Christ. I'm independent of relying on outside help. I don't need that help. It helps nice, it comes, but I rely upon the Lord. In whatever condition Paul's in, you see, God supplies all my needs, Paul would say, in Christ Jesus. Whether in humble, verse 12, means... That classical Greek word means a river that's running low. You see it. Oh, you can see the bottom. There's just a trickle there. Paul is saying, hey, in humble means, I don't have much, like that river running low. I've learned to get along with that. And also in prosperity, prosperous times, that doesn't change me. I'm the same, whether I have little or a lot. You see, sometimes people start doing really well and they kind of forget the Lord. You know, and they start using, you know, what they have for themselves. One of the things about Pastor Chuck, who is my mentor and my pastor and really a father figure to me, he was a guy that never changed, probably had the wealthiest church in the United States. Unbelievable what Chuck did. But he never changed. He was always the same. He bought used cars. He lived in houses that were, he made investments in houses, but he didn't change. He wore the same kind of clothes. He never, you know, was extravagant in those things. He didn't change. Neither did Paul. If he's prosperous, he's the same. Humble means or prosperous means doesn't change him. I've learned to be filled, he says, and that word means fed and fattened animals. It talks about that. In other words, you're filled. Or to go hungry. Ooh, hungry? Yeah, fasting time. Paul talks a lot about fasting. He fasted a lot. Well, maybe that was because there were hungry times. In abundance or poverty, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, a lot or a little. You have a lot or a little. There's still the temptation, and there's still the testing that God does. You're tested if you have a little. You're tested if you have a lot. Doesn't matter. There's still that testing. Are you rejoicing in the Lord? Are you the same? Am I the same? You see, Proverbs 18:1 says, a rich man's wealth is his fortified city. It is like a high wall in his imagination. In other words, I don't need anything. I've got all this wealth. This is my fortress, my tower. Well, you don't need God anymore, huh? What, when you've got all that? Well, what about having nothing? Well, again, Proverbs deals with that. Proverbs 30, verse 8 and 9, where the writer says, keep deception and lies far from me. Feed me or give me neither poverty nor riches, but feed me with the food that is my portion. In other words, Lord, give me what I can handle. Not too little that I'm going to steal, and not too much that I'll forget about you. That's what he goes on and says in verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be in want and steal and profane the name of the Lord. You see, Paul is telling us, he knows that ultimately the Lord is the one that supplies, and at the same time, it's the Lord's people that are the suppliers. You see, the Lord and the people, they co-labor together. That's what Paul is laying out. Well, he goes on, verse 14, he says, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction, and you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel, after I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for the need, for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Now, Thessalonica, he was there preaching. That was a wealthy city. A wealthy city. Paul visited that after he left Philippi. It's about 100 miles away, and he was still supported by those in Philippi, not Thessalonica. They contributed very little or nothing to Paul. He said, in my affliction. The term there, the Greek term is philipsis, and it means tribulation. It means distress. Paul was having a hard time here. This was difficult.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from Philippians chapter 4, titled, I Can Do All Things Through Christ. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. Gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Philippians chapter 4. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.